Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Don't mean to put you on the spot, but how many of you were not here last night? Where were you? You know, I'm just going to say it. You missed it. All right, so just repent right now. No, I'm sure that many of you had, you know, other responsibilities, work-related, family and all, but you missed it, okay? No. The Holy Spirit is a God of the now. We are thankful for what He's done in times past, like last night, but He moves in the now. He wants to impart a blessing. Don't you like that word, blessing? Say it with me, blessing. Say it like a Texan, blessing. I'm going to teach you how to speak correctly, all right? Say it again, blessing. That's how my wife says it, blessing. When she was teaching at Rafi School, you know, she said blessing, and about four hands went up and said, what is that word? Blessing. Anyway, I want to just say how much it has been a tremendous privilege in being with you. Honestly, it's so short. It's like, you know, I'm here, gone, whatever, you know. It's just, yeah, we're going to have to do something like that, you know, eh? And I got one amen there. But I do appreciate the leadership and inviting us to come. Actually, my son invited us to come, and I wasn't aware of it until about a week and a half. Oh, you're going to Taunton. Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's a wonderful area. It really is, and we so appreciate each and every one of you and the leadership of the church. And I've known Pastor Judith now for probably over 15 years. Met her briefly in Washington, D.C. area. I think she was having an oversight of intercession as well as some traveling ministry, and just briefly said hello. Actually, you know, she was kind of rude. You know, I was trying to be friendly. No, anyway, she just kind of came in and just said hello and just walked out, you know. But, no, she didn't do that. But, yes, she did. But anyway, she was busy. She had other things on her mind. But it's just been a privilege in knowing her and just each and every one of you. And I just want you to know that, now I don't know about you, if you were here last night, I had fun. But it took me about 3 hours to come down. Were you that way? I mean, I'd go to bed and... You know, and about 5 minutes later, you know, now I don't know if that's nervous energy or the anointing or whatever, but usually it takes me about 2 to 3 hours, so I get to sleep about 2 or 3 in the morning, then wake up about 8. Of course, that's somewhat to do with jet lag, but, you know, it's just part of it. But I had fun, and I just pray that you allow the Spirit of God to increase the operation of the gift of faith. And if you weren't here, I would encourage you to get the CD. Was it taped? Is that the correct way of saying it? Or you can download it on the website. You really can. You can. Ooh, didn't know that. You can podcast it, right? No, just download. Okay. So, anyway, I want to also say that I apologize. What we're doing is we're going to, in a huge canister, ship over approximately 3,000 to 4,000 of our books. It's a cheaper way of doing it rather than, you know, just a box of 22 to 25 books. I mean, it's outrageous what they charge to bring from America to the States. But we did write a book titled The Dancing Hand of God. You can get that if you go to Kingdom Faith in Horsham. If not, you can go on our website. That's the easiest way to get it. It's a 448-page book. I wish I had one to show you. But it's largely my testimony and intertwined in my testimony, the Lord gave me some revelatory keys of the kingdom, to release what I termed the breaker anointing upon the corporate body. And there's some wonderful illustrations, signs, wonders, some miracles that we've seen in the book because of what God has wrought in my testimony. In some of those examples, I've had actually five appearances directly from the Lord Jesus. And in those appearances, the Lord taught me certain keys. And I put it in book form. It'll revolutionize your life. It really will. I know that's a biased statement, but Bill Johnson forwarded it, a friend of mine. Do you know who I'm talking about, Bill Johnson? And he says, now this is what he says. He says, it's one of the greatest books I've ever read. You know, it's pretty good, you know, advertisement. And Randy Clark, another minister friend of mine, says the same. And it's just going all over the world. It's in over, I think, 55 nations now in large quantities. And it's what's happening is it's creating a, it's initiating a real release in faith for the miraculous. I shared last night that all one can do as a minister, now hear this, is to create an encounter. That's all I can do. That's all any one of us can do. I can't heal, I cannot deliver, I can't set people free. How many know only Jesus in his anointing through the Holy Spirit can accomplish those things? But as a vessel, all we can do is initiate what we're sensing and encounter. And then it's really up to you to embrace that, amen, and receive it in faith and walk it out many times and see the completion of that miracle that you're in need of, okay? And so this weekend, I believe, has been a weekend of initiating. Now, when I say that, I'm not stating that you're not already in a wonderful flow, because you are. I mean, I've come to a church that not only believes in miracles, but sees them on a regular, consistent basis. It's fun to come to church like this. Nothing really has to be created. I just enter into the flow of what's already established here. Does that make sense? Just kind of add some fuel prayerfully by God's grace. It's fun to come to a church that's correctly taught, amen, foundationally. And so I'm not only commending your leaders, but just what I sense apostolically and prophetically, there's a richness, there's a growth. There's a greater sense of depth than when I was here 4 years ago. I hope I'm encouraging you here. You're thinned out a little bit numerically, but sometimes that can be good. And God always refines and establishes a core for the next phase, and you're truly moving into the next phase. And if you don't understand what that means, again, get the CD or download it for £100, and you'll just you'll be blessed. And I think you'll understand, because that's part one of the second part this morning. Now, this is a message that isn't just a sermon. It is a word. It is a charge. Can you receive that? And it's prophetic in and of itself. Now, for those of you that may not realize, I'm still in the process of restoration physically. Of course, if you're down physically, how many know that can also touch you mentally? My wife teases me and says, that explains a lot, you know. But, you know, just emotionally, you know, ministers, when they minister prayerfully out of their spirit man, but of course their emotions get involved, especially when you prophesy and you pray for the sick and you're just all involved, and it's not just a lecture, you know, where you just share truth. You're involved in people's lives. It just consumes you. And so, you know, after close to 40 years of that continuously, as I shared last night, it kind of caught up with me. And I entered into a fatigue syndrome where I drained my adrenal glands just about a year ago, and the doctor said it would take at least 3 years of full recovery. I'm just really, we have a phrase in America, I'm sure you have it here, it's blowing his mind that, you know, I'm where, you know, he thought I would be at 3 years, it's in a year, and he doesn't understand it. So God's accelerating. I just want him to do it a little quicker. And so, don't we all, right? God healed me instantly, you know. He just chose not to do that. You know, I mean, he just doesn't always heal people instantly. I mean, there's a process. That's what gifts of healings are all about. It means you're progressing, right? And so I'm learning a lot. Number one, I'm learning to listen to my wife. That's first. Then God's voice, secondly. Hallelujah. And, you know, I haven't listened to her over the years. You know, you need to kind of pace yourself, honey. You know, slow down. You don't need to just take every invitation. But, Lord, you know, don't you know? You know, oh, that the rapture could take place at any moment. So I've just got to, you know. Anyway, so I'm now forced to have to begin to pace myself. And you're seeing a miracle, because usually what happens is I cannot in the natural minister like I did last night until a quarter to 11, and then the very next morning minister. I usually have to have the full day until the next evening, you see, to be strong enough to minister again. But I am believing in God's grace, that out of my weakness, God's grace is made perfect, okay? And we're here to serve you. And so thank you so much for your attendance and the hospitality and your giving towards our ministry. We just have some great and effectual open doors, which really what I need is to take a year off. Now, wouldn't we all love to take a year off, right? But I really do need to take a year off. And hopefully sometime in the near future, I can at least take a portion of a year off, write a couple of books, you see, and just kind of enjoy the grandsons, right? Amen. That's my type of vacation. Just enjoy the grandsons. I've got five of them, okay? We need a girl in there. Come on, pray. Hallelujah. We need a girl in there. But anyway, that's really what we need. But what's happening is our ministry to the glory of God's exploding. It's exploding in nations of the world. It really began to take place in Switzerland. I know that, you know, some of us have to rough it for Jesus in remote areas of the world like Switzerland. But I got through it. Hallelujah. And subsequently, we had, this wasn't too long ago, I was with Reinhard Bonnke. Have you ever heard of Reinhard Bonnke and Heidi Baker and Claudio Frizion in a conference? And what happened was we instantaneously had, they tell me, 9 people in wheelchairs instantly were thrown out of the wheelchairs. Some hadn't walked in 20-something years. And then dropping their crutches and this and that. So there was approximately around 13 instantaneous miracles of that nature. Well, that got everybody's attention to the glory of God. And that subsequently opened up the door in Europe, not only in Switzerland, but in other areas that we're going to be going back into this year by God's grace. So we covet your prayers. We really do. And we have offices now that are being set up in Botswana and then also Kuwait City, because we do a lot of ministry in the Middle East. I'm just taking a moment here and letting you kind of know what's happened and transpired in 4 years. It's exploded. The Acts group, we have approximately around 100 that are a part of the team that are based in various areas of the world. So we've got offices that are being set up in Kuwait City and Botswana. I'm working towards you know, an office and a place here in England this spring. Also, Singapore is being opened up so we can minister in the Southeast Asia area. And there's one other place my son is telling me that, but I can't remember it off the top of my head right now. But these are bases of operation where we go into, you know, areas of the world as forerunners. A lot of my ministry is forerunning. And it's in nations where it is illegal to preach Christ in the public setting. So I went to a Middle East nation not too long ago, illegally, you know, in the natural. But I guess the first time they say in modern history, I just said it right in the public venue. And this is a nation that has approximately around 30 million Muslims and 122 Christians. And most of those just named the name of Christ. They weren't born again. But there was a core that were born again and a smaller core that was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I had more difficulty with the believers, I should say unbelieving believers, than the Muslims. But that's another message. And they got all angry at me. And what happened was I had a Muslim man stand in front of me at 35 years of age that his right arm was the size of a six-year-old. It was emaciated, hanging there, dangling, useless. And it was like hearing popcorn. Have you ever heard corn pop? So the upper part of his arm popped and filled out to the proper size, and then put my hand on his wrist, and about another 3 minutes, the lower part of his hand, it was like popcorn, you could hear this popping, and his hand and arm grew out to the same size as his other. So he started shaking, and God was sparing my life, hallelujah. Didn't have a whole lot to do with faith, it was just, Lord, if you don't intervene here, I am going to die. That's really the truth. But it was forerunning. Got the people so excited that we were able to raise up a corps of about 30 that went out into the streets. I cannot mention this nation, all right? And went into the streets, and they said, come to these villages. And so they brought out all of the crippled children. And moms and dads. And so there was an average of 200 or 300 in the various villages we went to. And every single one was healed. I mean, the team ministered to them. Now, these are 30-some Christians that live in this nation that had never done this before in their lives. That has now grown to 250. Isn't that amazing? And they're going from village to village, city to city, and they're calling out all the cripples, all the blind, all the deaf. They're going down the streets in this nation, Muslim nation, and just praying for blind people, and their eyes are being opened, and deaf people, their ears are being opened. And it's excited, isn't it? That's the kingdom of God. And then there's, of course, correct follow-up. And so, you know, there's believers being added. And so that's part of the forerunning aspect of our ministry. And that core is under great persecution, not from the Muslims, but from the Christians that are being shown up. You see what I'm trying to say? And, of course, it's all my fault. So, you know, and you can tell I've lost a lot of sleep over it. Huh? Yeah. So, anyway, we do covet your prayers. And if you'd like to stay up with where we're at and what we're doing, you can go on the website. What is it? How does that work? I'm so illiterate when it comes to www.answeringthecry.com. Or you can Google James Maloney. Now, a year ago, you used to Google James Maloney and get a punk rock group out of Germany. How do you raise a punk rock group out of Germany called James Maloney? I know what happened. I know. Some of those kids came out to one of my meetings when I was in Germany. And either out of respect or mockery, I don't know which one, we're going to call our group James Maloney. This guy's a jerk, you know. I'm serious. But they've disbanded since then, all right? So you won't find that. But you can just Google James Maloney, and it'll pull up the Axe group. But, you know, I got emails over that. We didn't know you were in punk rock music. I even lost support over that until I clarified and said, that isn't me, all right? So I found that kind of humorous. But that'll just, our whole website is being restructured this spring. It's, we're spending a lot of money in really being able to not only podcast, we're going into, what's it called, live streaming. We're setting up summits in different regions of the world, and I'll be in Mozambique very, very soon, where 9,000 pastors will be coming together, Heidi Baker and myself, and, of course, they all want a prophetic word. So pray for me, okay? So we take teams. So if you're interested in wanting to go with us to some of the areas we're going in the next couple of years, you can pick more of a sedate place like Jamaica, all right, rather than, you know, Saudi Arabia, for which I will be there in the near future, holding a public conference for the first time. That's being prepared, all right, Saudi Arabia. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Say, are you afraid? I mean, aren't you afraid that... Well, you know, I've been in this thing long enough where I've already have had the intervention of God on at least six occasions spare my life. It's not my time to go. And, you know, I told the Lord, I said, you know, when I hit about 80 or so, 80, I'm ready to go. And what I'll do is, I want to be a martyr for you. I'll just go to one of those Middle East nations and stand up and say, Muhammad is dead. Islam is not of God. That'll take care of it real quickly. Hallelujah. Good way to go. Hallelujah. I was not too long ago, just a couple of years ago, in the city of Manchester. And I was in a conference of about 300, and I had this particular session at about 2 p.m., so it's supposed to last about an hour and a half. And I'm in the back, and I'm sitting there because they required us to sit in front, you know, of the congregation of people, and I'm looking at the different individuals. And I remember something rose up within my spirit, and I said, oh, God. It was just the Holy Spirit orchestrating it. I said, what is it going to take for people like myself? We're just such vessels of clay, right? You know, we so fall short of your glory. I mean, what must I do in the name of yielding to you in such a way that, is it possible that you could maybe in this next hour and a half minister to these people, or help me minister to these people as closely as if you were literally ministering to them? If it was you here standing, could I somehow yield to the Holy Spirit in such a way that I could get as close as possible as if literally you were the one ministering to them? That was my prayer. And all of a sudden I was awakened to the reality they had introduced me. So I went up and I stood and... I don't even remember what I taught. It lasted, they said, about 20 minutes, which is a miracle. But anyway, for about 20 minutes, the only way I can describe it to you is it was like I was stepped aside and I was watching myself, I know it sounds strange, proclaiming. I couldn't hear what I was saying. But I was watching myself delivering this word. And I was watching the congregation's reaction and response to it. And the people were reacting and responding differently. They were hearing the same message, but an aspect of the message was touching them in areas that maybe it wasn't touching others in the same realm. But everyone was being touched in some way. There was a group over here that began to sob and weep. There were others over here that began to rejoice. Others were kind of stunned. They were worshiping the Lord. And of course, you know, the more analytical, studious ones were taking notes fervently and fervously, you know, and just, it was just amazing. The word, it just so flowed out like honey. Like, I can't describe it to you. It was very simple, but very profound. And I noticed that as I was delivering this word, that this smoky substance filled this congregation. This is in Manchester, okay? And everyone saw this glory sort of just kind of come in, this mist. It's quite amazing. Twice when I made a statement, now I'm not embellishing, I'll stand before God and give an account of everything I share with you, so I hope you know my heart's integrity. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will bear witness to it in your heart. That when I made a statement, I heard the sound of three trumpets. This happened twice. Everyone heard it. Like this proclamation. Well, how many know that got people's attention? And then some began to kind of fall on their knees because you don't hear this every day. This was a 20-minute message. It was so fun. It was just so easy. I was watching myself just deliver this word and the different reactions and responses. And then afterwards, it just seemed like the burden lifted and I stepped down and I began to minister to individuals. And the words seemed to be so specific, really specific. And, you know, 3 years ago you were in a car accident. Is that correct? You were driving a red car and it was such and such, like a Peugeot car, you know, and and a truck came, you know, a milk truck came or something like that and rammed in your back. And is that correct? Uh-huh. And then I was I mean, that's a pretty specific word, you know. And what was happening was, as I was giving words and prophetic utterances to people, again, different reactions and responses. It was just like instantaneous miracles. People that had deformities from birth, you could hear a snap, crackle, and pop, and they would spontaneously stand up and say, interrupt and say, I'm being healed of such and such. The tumor has disappeared. The infirmity that I've had because of the accident, there's no more pain. The bulge in my back is gone. It was just awesome. My right ear just opened. I was deaf. I'm recounting some of the things that happened. And I would call people out and lay hands upon them, and then they would come under this amazing anointing, and some were laughing and crying. You know, some were rejoicing. Some were just intoxicated. Many, when I laid hands upon them, they just went under the power of God, and they just didn't bounce right back up. I mean, they were out for the count. And so they would just kind of, the ushers would lead them over to the side over there and load them up, you know, pile them up. And they were out for like an hour, 2 hours, some of them. And they actually, many of them, when they finally came to, got angry because they missed a lot of the moves of God. And, you know, they were upset because they didn't, oh, that's so, person got healed and I didn't get to see it, see? It was really quite comical. And so there was just a lot of amazing manifestations. And if I'm not mistaken, the building for about 3 seconds shook. This is all in one service, an hour and a half. And I'm just, you know, enjoying this great move of God. And it seems so pure and so simple and so easy. And everyone was being ministered to in one way or another. It was as if Jesus literally somehow had stepped down and just honored his servant's heart's cry. And people were getting touched. It was one of the purest manifestations that I've ever encountered and experienced in a congregation of people. And it lasted about an hour and a half. And just about an hour and a half later, I mean, so many things took place, it just sort of kind of lifted off of me. And I stepped back, and I'm sharing something very dear to my heart. I don't share this very often. I stepped back, and I'll never forget this. I looked up to the Lord. I looked up to heaven, and I said, Lord, did I do it correctly? Was it done right? And instantly, now hear this. When Brother Maloney says this, I'll clarify in just a moment, this happened. Instantly, I was caught up to heaven. Now let me tell you what that means to Brother Maloney. I actually teach this in the school, you know, the difference in the different levels. Either my spirit man left my body and went to heaven. Does that make sense? Or a video screen opened up before me in a vision and I saw heaven. Does that make sense? It wasn't like floating thoughts that came across my mind about heaven. I was there. And I was standing, and I had this knowing that it was adjacent to the very throne room of God the Father, a separate room, right next to His. And I cannot begin to describe to you the huge 12 pillars to the left and 12 pillars to the right, the ornate design and the embedded jewels that were embedded in those huge pillars is beyond human description. It's the first thing that caught my attention. It was a golden room, and I noticed that when I looked down, it was like a sea of glass mingled with fire. Does that make sense? It was transparent. It was gold, but it was transparent. But it had a bluish hue, and then there would be sparkling releases of fire or flames periodically. You find this in Revelation 5. But what was so unique, it was transparent. And I looked up, and there were 1,000 individuals that were seated on this floor. A portion of the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. Now this is for you. This is for this congregation. This is going to bless you. And when I looked very briefly, I recognized at least 4 individuals that in my first 4 years of my walk with the Lord were instrumental in getting me saved and established in the Lord. Of course, they'd gone on to be with the Lord. But they were permitted, this group of 1,000 men and women, they were permitted to view that service. See, they know what's going on more than we realize. Did you hear that? I'm going to say that again. They're aware of more of what's going on here on earth than you may realize. We see through a glass darkly. We know in part. They have all knowledge. They're aware of what's taking place. They're in heaven, but they're aware more than you realize. You know, have you ever thought of this? Should I share this with you? I don't know if you're ready for this. No, I don't know if you're ready for this. No, I don't know. Well, it's my last session. I'm leaving. Hallelujah. You know, I lost my first little girl. And it was a heartbreak to my wife and I. And we had never named her. So about a year and a half ago, I'm awakened 3 in the morning. And through a funnel, I hear a young lady's voice say 3 times, Daddy, audibly, Daddy, Daddy. And it woke me up. They want to know here in heaven what name you and mommy want to give me. Now, they've given me a name, but they want to call me by the name that you and mommy always wanted to call me. Come on now. That's pretty cool, isn't it? We always wanted to name her Jenna. So I just yelled out, Jenna. You see, and she had died 30-some years ago. But you see, you need to understand. Have you ever thought of this? If you have had a loved one die like 30 years ago, went to heaven, to them, they just got there. And they turn around, you're there. You didn't get it, did you? We may wait that 30-year period before we see the loved one. But when they get to heaven, they're in the realm of the eternal. It's timeless. So to them, you know, if it's been 30 or 40 years, they've been in heaven. They don't know they've been in heaven 30 or 40 years. They turn around, you're there. Well, that one was free. Hallelujah, okay? Amen? You ever thought about that? I hadn't thought about that until this experience. But you see, they're just more aware of what's going on. And these precious people were viewing that service. And when I said, Jesus, did I do it correctly? Did I do it right? Did I yield so much? Was it you, more of you and less of me? I mean, that's what it's all about. God is my witness to His glory and honor. This is to His glory and honor. 1,000 people stood up and applauded. It is awesome. Say it correctly. Awesome. How do you get an O out of that? All right? There's an A there, okay? Say awesome. 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 I got to teach you correct English. American English. Let me help you. It's soccer. You didn't get that, huh? No, you don't bear witness to that. You can get in trouble, can't you? I want to ask this congregation this morning, do you want to hear heaven's applause?
Yes.
Or do you want just man's applause here on earth? Because man's applause is temporal. See, everything that we do, my wife and I were talking about it the other day, we live not just for this generation, but for the next generation. And everything we do is how heaven perceives what needs to be accomplished here on earth. Did you hear that? Now, I said all of that because I believe I've found a core group of people that you want heaven's applause, because that's what's eternal. That's what's rewarded. That's what remains, fruit that remains. Does that make sense? We've got to get a fresher and fuller revelation of what it means when everything that we do is done in Christ. We don't just minister for Jesus. Hear this. We minister for Jesus in the person of Jesus. And I'm robbing this from Bill Johnson and others, but, you know, it's a great concept. But our whole motivation and heart's desire is for what is already being experienced in heaven. As the Holy Spirit wills and directs, is to be brought down into this earth realm, and it's to invade this earth realm. Does that make sense? For the kingdom of God, which that's what it is, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, if it's to break into this earth realm, that's your call. This is an open heavens church. Does that make sense? Every time you praise, you worship, you gather, you create an open heavens. There's an open heavens right now. And I believe it's increasing. And I like Revelation 1:10 when it says that on the Lord's day, John was in the Spirit, then the heavens were open. Does that make sense? I mean, there's got to be certain churches, and you're one of those churches. I'm prophesying. Do you hear this? I'm prophesying right now. There's got to be certain churches that are called of God in specific geographical locations that correctly define to a generation what it really means to be in the Spirit. Because the church down the road, their view of what it means to be in the Spirit and ours may not be the same. I'm not saying that we're any better or any more important. Every church has their vision. Every church has their portion. But as I shared last night, there are keys of the kingdom of the heavens. And so certain churches just take one specific key in one realm and they open up and unlock the treasury rooms of heaven. We'll see this text in just a moment. And that's as far as they go. Well, I don't know about you, but I want heaven's applause. I want whatever they're encountering and experiencing in heaven. I know we still experience in part and we know in part. We see through a glass darkly. But brethren, I believe, and again, I'm stealing this from Bill Johnson, that I believe the veil between heaven and earth is becoming thinner and thinner. And what is the apex of my experience supernaturally, my wife's experience and my walk with the Lord, what is the apex of experience becomes the foundation or the floor that my kids springboard from. They better go higher, deeper, further. And for the kingdom of heaven to invade this earth realm, there must be established what I term access points to the manifest presence of the Lord. Now, for an example, the temple in Jerusalem was one of those access points into the presence of God. How many know that? Now, we know we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just a specific geographical location where a building was established that God housed. How many know we are the temple of God, so everywhere we go, we take open heavens with us. We earth the glory. Amen. People encounter the Lord wherever we go. But there is a principle that in a specific geographical location, in a corporate body expression like this congregation, that God, I believe, has established an access point into the supernatural or the manifest presence of God. And if you study the temple in Jerusalem, you will find, we'll see the text in just a moment, that entrance into that temple or that presence of the Lord, there were entrusted to certain individuals, they were called gatekeepers that had certain keys that were given to them to unlock, hear this, the treasury rooms that were in the temple. Ooh, you're getting it, aren't you? Listen to what it says in 1 Chronicles. This is one of the verses I'm going to have you turn to, then one other, and then we'll finish up. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 26 through 29. And I'm reading out of a more modern translation, a wimpier translation, so you can get the gist of it. No, I'm teasing. But the four principal gatekeepers, now in the old King James, and they're called porters. Here, they're called gatekeepers. Everybody say gatekeepers. You are gatekeepers in the Taunton region. You're gatekeepers of the supernatural. Now let me say this, not just the manifest presence of God, because a lot of people don't understand that. The manifest presence of God, what does that mean? So it's easier to say gatekeepers of the supernatural. Because look, everybody look at me. You see, when Lucifer fell, he fell from heaven to this earth realm. Is that correct? The first heaven. Everybody say first heaven. The first heaven is where Lucifer fell. in the realm of the spirit, in this first heaven, there's what's called, we call it the demonic realm, but it's really better termed the preternatural realm, the realm of Satan or the spirit realm. The second heaven is the cosmos. The third heaven is the supernatural realm of God. The only realm you're permitted to access is the supernatural realm or the third heaven realm. Did you hear that? Now this is going to make sense in just a moment. You still with me? Just a few more moments. You are gatekeepers of that supernatural realm to bring heaven to this earth realm, to invade, that's the kingdom, into this earth realm, pushing back the preternatural realm and establishing the rule of God, His kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. So there's going to be powerful pockets of groupings of people that have established open heavens all over this world in specific geographical locations, or what we term spiritual Jacob's ladders. Genesis 28. Amen? I think that's exciting. That's your call. Just accept it. The vast majority of the church is not ready for it. They want to hear a good sermon that blesses them for that week, a motivational speech that gets them through their work week. I want to encounter God. Your definition of encountering God and theirs may not be the same. But you do know, just by the fact you're in this fellowship, can we just kind of, you've been ruined.
That's it.
Come on.
You're right.
Can we just be honest here? It's not a braggadocious statement, but you know what? We're right. They're wrong. When we believe salvation, healing, come on now. Don't shout me down. Baptism, the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, prophesying, miracles, signs, and wonders. Guess what? We're right.
Yes.
Open heavens, angels ascending and descending. We're the habitation of God in the Spirit. We're the dwelling place of God. And we need a whole new definition of what it means. When two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in their midst. Listen, I've gone to a lot of churches where God was not in their midst. I'm not saying He wasn't abiding within their hearts. I'm saying He was not manifesting Himself in their midst. You are gatekeepers of the supernatural. God has given you certain keys of the kingdom to unlock treasury rooms. Now, I believe that what we experience spiritually here on earth, there are, analogies or symbolisms or prototypes or some kind of whatever in heaven. Remember, I went to that room. Isn't that interesting? A great cloud of witnesses were viewing. It just, you've got to envision. Now, this is extra scriptural, and I can't find any precedents for this in scripture, so this is speculative. But I remember Heidi Baker told me, she said she had a vision one time where she went to heaven and she saw this, God gave her a key, and it was her. And she opened up the door, and in this room were, I can't say I fully agree with this. I mean, it's a neat concept. It's not scriptural, but there was this room with body parts. And the Holy Spirit was waiting for God's people, you know, if a cut off arm, you know, was missing, that there was coming a day that you just reach up into that treasure room and pull down that body part and God will restore. Well, sounds cool, doesn't it? I can't find scriptures for it. But if there is such a thing, I think it's a neat concept. I'll go for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Reach up. Amen. And pull it down. But there's a thought there. You know, there's just something that I think when we get to heaven, what we experienced here on earth and certain moves of God, we're going to find that there was something established in heaven that we accessed. Did you hear that? I personally believe God gave me a revelation that there are memorial rooms that are being set up for certain patriarchs of faith and men and women of God like yourselves, where your accomplishments to the glory of God, of course, He receives all the glory, will be remembered in very unique ways. One illustration. I sat under the ministry, many ministries, but as a hippie, I know you can't envision it, but I used to be one of those Jesus freaks. I remember the Jesus movement. No, you don't remember the Jesus movement? You need to do some church history. In the late 60s, early 70s, I know you can't envision it, but I used to have long hair. But something happened. It's called ministry. I've gotten grayer. Used to have long hair. I know there's a recession here. Some of you should not be laughing. You're under depression, all right? Hallelujah. But anyway. But I used to be one of those hippies in the Jesus movement. And I started the ministries the first 5 years of my walk with the Lord. Here's a great illustration. One of the ministers was the late Catherine Kuhlman. Do you know who I'm talking about? How many of you do not know who I'm talking about? Oh, Lord Jesus. But she was unique. And I remember the platform was real low. Seats were high. About 6,000 people were seated. And I was on the edge, right on the edge there, you see, in the middle aisle. And all of a sudden, it was at 7 o'clock, this booming voice came out of somewhere. Radio voice. And the spotlight hit the top up there. And you heard this voice. And here's Catherine. And Catherine shot out like a cannon. Now, just go podcast Catherine Kuhlman. She was unique. I mean, she had this flowing, you know, this flowing chiffon dress, you know, just went everywhere and just, you know, and she was twirling down the middle of the aisle with this eerie look on her face, dancing. And I'm looking back at this strange woman, and what happened was her dress caught the entire left side of my body. Just and that was it. I went under the chair. And that was my miracle service. I remember I came to, and all I can remember is she got down to the front, and she's twirling around laughing. And I'll never forget. This is all I remember. Have you been waiting for me? And that was it. And I got upset because 4 hours later they said how 12 people walked out of wheelchairs and blind eyes. I wanted to see the miracles. No, I'm laid out the whole time. But it revolutionized my life. And I thought, what a person, even with her idiosyncrasies and peculiarities. God knew her heart, carried the weightiness of God's presence in such a way that just her dress touched me and I was laid out. And I entered into what we term a transcendency of experience that from that moment forward, it ruined me. Because see, I wanted to play true football for Jesus, American football, and fly fighter planes. After that encounter, all I wanted was whatever was on her life, Lord Jesus, let it be impartable in my life. right? She became, in a sense, an access point or a point of transition between heaven and earth. This church is called to be that point of transition. Let me define that to you. A point of transition is where we move from one environment to another. And these certain gatekeepers, I'll quote the verse in a minute, were responsible for guarding those point of transitions or the access points into the manifest presence of God. And just as these gatekeepers, come on now, guarded the access points into the temple, God is looking for gatekeepers. Are you hearing this? Of the supernatural to guard the threshold or the critical point of transition between heaven and earth. That's this church. You're not supposed to be like the church down the road. This church is for everyone, but not everyone will want it. Because you pay a price to be uncompromising when it comes to praise, to worship, to singing in the Spirit, to message tongues, interpretation. Are you hearing this? Signs and wonders and miracles and healings. The prophetic spirit, the move of God. Amen. Lightnings, thunders, vapors of smoke. I mean, you know, people say, oh God, come down in all of your fullness. Let me tell you something. Somebody that makes a statement like that has a spirit of dumb on them. Because if God were to come down in the measure that they've been asking Him to come down in all of His fullness, there would be a major exodus in the church. Because if you aren't correctly prepared, which Christ prepares us, you are already prepared for that, by the way, in His righteousness, you die. And I believe there's a shift that's taken place in the Spirit in 2011. And the last 3 years have been horrendous. Horrific years. I mean, good in many respects of development and growth and depth, amen, and the trying of your faith. But what I'm trying to say is, 11 is the year of restoration. Of what God has promised. This is a congregation, I'm prophesying, you're going to be a congregation that is going to enter into unfulfilled prophecies. God doesn't forget His word. His word returns not to Him void. It just kind of hangs around until He's got a people that are prepared, amen, to enter into it. I hope this is encouraging you, but also pricking your conscience and also motivating you to come up higher. Three in agreement with me. You got to have a vision for this. But the four principal gatekeepers, 1 Chronicles 9, verse 26, and I'll take you to one other portion of Scripture, and that'll be it. But the four principal gatekeepers who were Levites were entrusted with the responsibility for the rooms and treasuries in the house of God. They would spend the night stationed around the house of God because they had to guard it, and they had charge of the key for opening it each morning. Some of them were in charge of the articles used in the temple service. They counted them when they were brought in and when they were taken out. Others were assigned to take care of the furnishings and all of the other articles of the sanctuary, as well as the flour, the wine, the oil, incense, and spices, which each one of those wonderful, wonderful oils and spices are representative and flour of certain things in the kingdom of God that we're to partake in. Amen. Right? And God says, I've given you the keys to those treasury rooms. See, everybody, listen to this. Hear this. This is a declaration. Quit putting off that someday in the future there's this city called the New Jerusalem that's going to come out of heaven. Now, I personally believe that there is a literal city that will come out of heaven. You can disagree. You'd be wrong, but you can disagree. I do believe that there will be a literal city that will come out of heaven, hover over natural Israel, 1,500 miles square. Come on, that means 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles, right? I had a mathematician, he's a mathematician whiz, and he said that meant that if there was like 10 billion people, that each person would have a 10-mile radius of space to be their, amen, habitation. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Awesome, eh? Right? Awesome. Awesome. But as awesome as that is, you got to read the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 12. You've got to understand that the whole concept of the book of Hebrews is that we have an agreement or a testament in Christ through His blood that presents us to His very throne right now in the now. That we can access His heart in the now. That He looks upon us in the now as the bride, as the city. You have come to Mount Zion. You come on now. I need to hear more preach. I expect it from her, but I need to hear from someone else. You are the city of God set on a hill. You are the new Jerusalem now. It's amazing how the religious Pharisaic spirit will put everything in the past or put everything off in the future, but you can't experience anything in the now. And what I'm trying to convey to you is that there is heaven that is being opened to us. And there's going to be more of an interaction with those, listen to this, cloud of witnesses than you may realize in what's in heaven. As the weeks and months and years go by, if Jesus should tarry, there's going to be more of an interaction than you may realize. Can you handle that? I mean, that's what I want. People came up to me the other day and said, I want you to pray that I live to be 120. Are you stupid? You really want to be on this earth 120 years? Ew. You sure don't have a revelation of heaven. Yeah, 85 years is fine, whatever. Just as long as I'm strong and, you know, if he wants to take me a little sooner, okay, fine. I get to go to heaven. That's when you begin to live. Does that make sense? You know, well, she didn't get healed, so she went to heaven. Oh, poor thing. Am I missing something? You haven't had a revelation. Look, once you get a revelation, I'm praying that all of you, in whatever degree and however way God brings it in your life, you're going to get a revelation of heaven. And it's going to ruin you to anything that you think is of importance here on earth. Because a lot of ministries are just living for this present reality, for their promotion, for their recognition, for whatever they feel that God is commissioning them to do. And a lot of it is of God. Some of it isn't. And for some individuals, hear this, because they don't live for the realm of the eternal. They don't live for the next generation. They've already received their reward. Brethren, I just want you to encounter God. I don't have anything else to give you. Anything else that I have to give you is waste. It's an overextension of the vessel rather than the Holy Spirit, because it's only the Holy Spirit, amen, that convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It's only the Holy Spirit that's of any eternal worth, that's infused the Zoe life within you, where you're quickened and you are changed from glory to glory. It does not say you are changed from a big whopping mess in your life to a realm of glory. What it means is this, is that whatever state you're in now, you got to make it glorious before God can entrust to you another level of glory. Ooh. So you know what? For some of you, I don't know about this church, you may have had some messes. Can I encourage you as a congregation corporately? I see this prophetically. You have come into, and I wouldn't tell you this unless God was leading me. You have come to a level of glory. A glorious state. And it took a year or two. Amen? Now God's going to entrust to you another level of glory. Because you are not changed from doctrine to doctrine. As important as doctrine is, you are changed from glory. Say it like a Texas evangelist. Glory. Say it. Come on now. Glory. Can I hear an amen? You know, I can do it. Hallelujah. I can preach. You are changed from glory to glory. Here's the key. Do you want to know the key as a watch gatekeeper, as a watchman? You don't want to know? You know, I could quit right now. I'll quit right now if you want. I know you want me to because I hear I've got to finish up here. I hear the rumblings in your stomach. What time is our luncheon appointment? What time is the luncheon appointment? 1:30? Well, we won't be here till 1:30, but let me finish this. Tell the person next to you, look, I know there's kids and children's care and Sunday school and all that. And so if they got to be released, just they can come on in here and they won't bother me. But this is prophetic right now. Okay? Prophetic doesn't just mean, oh, thus saith the Lord, I love you. I already knew that. If I had more time, I would do more personal prophecy. But this is what I heard the Holy Spirit. And I wrote this down this morning. Thank you very much, jet lag. Well, that's a good time for God to speak to you, right? This church, here's the key. Here's one of your keys. Finish up. It's real quick. You're to create a culture of honor. Of honoring the Holy Spirit, hear this, and honoring one another. Yes. Let me give you the definition for honor. Say with me, honor. Honor. How do you get an E out of that? Honor. Honor. See, you're all goofed up. See, it's just... The word honor means to revere or respect, to treat with deference or with submission. Now I'm going to give you one quick illustration. Trust me, this is it. All right? And you're all familiar with this. I'm going to take you, almost done here, take you to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm going to finish with it. Everybody say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Praise God! He's almost finished.
He actually repeated.
Need some inner healing. In chapter 6, you know the story. It says that he went, speaking of Jesus, into his own country. And on the Sabbath day, he began to teach in the synagogue. I love that. Many heard and were astonished. Get the CD last night, what that word means. And they begin to question, who is this person? Oh, you know, I remember him. I grew up with him. I know his mom and dad. They're just carpenters. Come on now. You know, I know his siblings. They were offended at him. Remember reading this? And Jesus said unto them in verse 4, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and to his own house. And he could therefore do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he left there and went around to other villages teaching. Now, you know what? It wasn't so much unbelief, hear this, in the supernatural. It was a disbelief or a dishonoring Jesus as the spokesperson from heaven. We receive someone sent by God when we honor his or her position or office. They didn't honor Jesus as the spokesperson. I think one of the reasons why is that he didn't come in the way they wanted him to come. And it doesn't say that he couldn't do miracles. It says that he was restrained. See, everybody, you got to hear this. How many know that in Jesus' earthly ministry, he had all authority and all power to heal everybody of everything? But hear this. If he could not get the people to believe, he was anointed of the Holy Spirit to bring healing to them. He couldn't get them healed. Did you hear that? And this is the syndrome in the church today. Many times, God will send what we need in a package that we don't necessarily like or want. I just marvel at the leaders God chooses. Most of them I wouldn't choose, but thank God I'm not God. He loves to take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Now here's a key of the kingdom that's going to unlock treasury rooms in heaven as a gatekeeper of the supernatural, this church. And that is creating or establishing a culture of honor for the Holy Spirit and the ones in whom he has sent to this place to be servant leaders for you, recognizing the relegated or delegated authority in their lives. And submitting to that, because in the measure that you submit to that authority in their lives is the measure that God sees you're submitting to him. And the problem is this, is that after a while, you know, this was Jesus' problem. The reason why there was no great miracles. I want to know why we're not seeing greater miracles. Am I alone in this? I'm tired of partial healings. Partial breakthroughs. I want to know why we're not seeing the greater works of the Lord Jesus. And one of the reasons why Jesus, with all of the authority and power that God had in bodily form, it says that he could not. He was restrained. Oh, a few sick folk were healed that stepped out among their peers and didn't matter what, you know, they thought they just stepped out and were healed of minor ailments, but the greater miracles that he was seeing in Capernaum and different places, he wasn't seeing it in Nazareth because they were over-familiarized with him. That's one reason. It's the same thing with David. You remember David? You know, it's amazing. You know, he restores the ark of God's presence. He comes into the city of David. You remember that? He's dancing with all of his heart, all of his might. So here he's got all of this incredible honor in the street, but despised under his own household. It says of Jesus' ministry, it was for the purpose of the fall or to the rise of many. In other words, it revealed his ministry truly, those that had a heart for God, but it also exposed those people that had a form of godliness, but they were blinded by their insubordinate hearts. And I'm not being mean here or critical or judgmental, but I am being prophetic here. Obviously in North America, obviously in England, obviously in Europe, to some degree, the Holy Spirit is being grieved. So what are we going to do? Spend the next 30 years? Well, we don't understand why we're not seeing what you've promised in Scripture. I don't think it's a matter of, well, we've got to wait for that appointed time and when God says this is going to happen and da da da. You know, God moves upon the response of His people to prepare their hearts. Don't be stiff-necked as your forefathers, it says in Chronicles, but yield to the Lord and enter into His sanctuary. You cannot enter into the things of God until after you've yielded. And many times God says, before I see that you are one that's yielding to me, you yield to the ones that I've sent that have my delegated authority, and I want to see in the measure that you're submitted to them, you're submitted to me, that I can entrust to you another level of glory. And there's great sifting that's taken place all across the charismatic Christendom in churches. And the vast majority of quote-unquote charismatic Christians, they're finding it easier to go back into a sedate spiritual existence, living in the comfort zone of nominalism, being inoculated because it's comfortable. And a nice little sermon. Got to get everybody out under an hour. If not, they won't come back next week. Oh, come on. Where'd that come from? Oh, we've got to be sensitive to the seekers out there. I'm so sick of that. No man comes to the Holy Spirit unless the Holy Spirit draws them. So common sense dictates if I get more of the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst and it changes my life, that they're going to be drawn. So no compromise in this church. Don't like it? Leave. You can find a church right down the road. And there's some good men and women that not all of the churches are that way. I understand that. But you're different. Face it. You're marked in this community. You're one of them. Yeah, but wait until you start going out there and in a creative way start touching those people right where they're at in the practicalities of life. Start serving them in love. Amen. With one hand ministering to them in the natural and with the other hand bringing a miracle to them. Then, hallelujah. See how the whole community begins to respond in favor towards this congregation. But the problem once again is that if it doesn't come in the right package that I think a leader should represent, the correct kind of package, then what I'll do is I'll withdraw my honor. And in the measure, hear this, to the degree you receive an honor, the messenger sent by God is the degree you will receive from that person or receive from the Holy Spirit through that person. If there is a measure of dishonor, that's going to be your reception. If there's honor, that's going to be your portion. Now, I like this verse as we pray right now. Ephesians 4:30, you don't have to turn to it. You ready? Because this church, this year, is going to tackle this. You're going to tackle whatever syndrome spiritually that's in operation that's caused the Holy Spirit to be grieved. I'm not talking about out in the world. Look, all you got to do is get some, we have a phrase, get some, we have a cruder phrase, but I won't share it. It wouldn't be edifying. But get some gumption and some moxie. And start a conversation with someone that you see at Sainsbury or somewhere. And watch them get healed. You lay hands on them, they'll get healed every time. Look, there's a church in Redding, California called Bethel. In my opinion, is the prototype of where the church is moving in the next 15 or 20 years. Little 18, 19, and 20-year-olds that are going into, we have what's called Walmart. You have what? What is it called?
Asda.
Yeah, same thing, Asda. We've got it in America now. Oh, Lord, you're invading America. But anyway, you know how you go up and the teller has the, you know, attention. You know, shoppers, we've got a blue light special. Right? He goes up. Have you ever heard this? He goes up and he says, can I use the microphone? And what's the cashier going to say? Okay. He goes, attention. This was in a Walmart. Walmart shoppers. My name is James, and I know that there's seven of you. One of you have kidney failure. The other one has such and such, and named out seven things. And it was so hilarious because these people started peeking down the aisle, looking up in the front, wondering, how did that person know? Would you please come on up to aisle three? This is the truth. 18-year-old, and we'll pray for you. So seven came up. Well, I'm the one that's got the kidney problem. I'm the one that's got this condition. So he says, well, I don't want to do anything out of order. Where's your manager? Well, that manager's a heathen, unsaved person. So the manager comes out, and he's wondering why 25 or 30 people are standing around. And he says, sir, I don't want to be out of order, but I, with your permission, I call these people forward, being led by God. What are you going to? They've got infirmity. I would like to pray for them. Would you mind if I pray for them? Well, what, you got them on the spot. He said, well, yeah, sure, I guess. Well, now what you're going to have to do, manager, is stand behind them, because when I pray for them, they're going to fall because there's going to be great power of God. So here's this unsaved manager standing behind people, and every person he prayed for, they fell. And everyone got healed. There's so much boldness now, so much authority, that any establishment in Reading permits any one of those students at any time, any hotel, any restaurant, in the front, inside the restaurant, to pray for the sick. Not only that, there's so much revolutionary change in the hearts of people. They're hearing so much in other areas of California and Nevada that they're moving businesses in and establishing businesses in Reading because they heard that there's this kind of prosperity that's bringing wholeness to people, and I want my business to come under it. That's bringing heaven to earth. That's establishing the kingdom of God. And signs and wonders and miracles. Not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. That's for this area. This is what you're being prepared for. This church is what, 10 years old? That's nothing. That is no time at all. In relationship, you know that God, what took 10 years can take 3 months. And move you into a realm That's 10 times, 50 times, 50-fold more than what you've experienced in the entire 10 years previously. And he can do it in 90 days. I'm prophesying here. Because I want to know what it is. The first thing has to happen is you as a church individual, this is not you personally, but you as a church, you are going to have to stand in the gap and ask God's forgiveness for individuals in this community that have dishonored the leadership of this church and brought lies and betrayal. Did you hear that? Because of that religious demon in their hearts. I hate religion. Don't wait for them to do it. You do it. Say, God, Holy Spirit, you've been grieved. Do you know what the word grieved means? This is it. It means this. It means, it's the analogy, it's the word where the Holy Spirit feels pain or grief. And the analogy is that it can only be experienced between two people who are deeply in love. The example that's used is when a husband or a wife is unfaithful to their spouse and the feeling of devastation or hurt or wounding. This is what it means. There's too much worldliness within the church. This seeped down. Do you realize that? It's Jesus said there's a particular doctrine I hate. It's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And did you know in Acts 6:15, I believe, that one of the deacons that was established was Nicholas. I remember Nicholas. This was, had nothing to do with Nicholas. It was his followers many centuries later in Antioch that what they did was they begin to compromise, and it means conquering, bringing people under manipulation or conquering them or subduing the people by compromising, by mixing the world with the things of the Spirit and say it's all right to be worldly, God understands. And it grieves the Holy Spirit every time we do something. Every time when a man looks at pornography or a woman, every time something of that nature, what it does, it brings a shock value. That's what it means, a shock to the Holy Spirit. When we drag him in the muck and the mire, it causes him to feel shock, a sense of hurt, grief. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit anymore. And one of the keys of the kingdom for this church to unlock the heavens as gatekeepers of the manifest presence of God is establishing a culture of honor towards one another, towards the leaders, come on now, towards His Word, towards the Holy Spirit, honoring Him. And if it's something new or unique or different that you're open, you're not gullible, but you're open to the things of the Spirit, that you know, you trust those that God has entrusted to you as servant leaders. He's the head of the church. If we go wrong, He'll correct us. You'll discern. You'll know. And this is what it means. Stop deeply wounding and causing such extreme emotional pain to the Spirit of God by whom you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. I don't want to be like Jesus' hometown. The Great One could do no mighty work. He couldn't. He was restrained because of unbelief or disbelief in His office, His calling, who He represented, what God had placed upon Him. They despised Him. Now, I personally don't care how you feel about me. Because I'm leaving. And I say this in love. I personally don't care if you give into this ministry or not. God's my source. But it's incredible to me how that people have been healed of incurable diseases under this ministry that would have cost them £400,000 or £500,000 to get healed of that. They get healed instantly and put a 10-pound offering in. That's dishonoring. Hello? Well, the government pays for it. Come on. Your taxes pay for it. But the point I'm trying to make is, I honor and esteem the leadership of this church. I mean, I really do. That's not just words so you could... I mean, are we perfect? No! Have we made mistakes? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Women come up to my wife all the time, oh, what's it like to be married to such a man of God? It almost makes her gag. He must prophesy in his sleep. One time she said, you really want to know? So she must have said something to them. She wasn't belittling me, but whatever she said to them, from that moment forward, when they walked by me, they just kind of looked at me like, oh, God. It's like, if God could be married, I mean, if God can use him, he can use anyone. That's the whole point. See, now I'm calling it forth. I'm calling it forth. Come on, begin to receive. I'm calling it forth prophetically. The vast majority of you are stunted. You have a lot of head knowledge and some heart knowledge. But you are completely, the vast majority of you, to the fullness of understanding, clueless of the potentiality that God's put within you in giftings, motivations, and creativity that God wants to be called forth. I don't care if you're 70 or 17 or 7. The greatest days are upon you. Your latter days will be greater than the former. God's going to take everything that you're going through, however difficult it is, and turn it around for a testimony to His glory and honor. And if you have a prognosis from a doctor that says you're going to die, you'll either be healed or you just get to go to heaven before us. Oh, that's just terrible. It's a win-win. Hear this. Oh, this is going to stretch you. For some people, it's not until they get to heaven that they start really, truly, fully entering into the ministry God's called them. And in the next 10 or 15 years, there's going to be such an open heavens. There'll be a lot of interaction between heaven and earth. Are you prepared for that? Are you ready for that? No, I don't think you understand. Right now, there's a room in heaven. Can you handle this?
Yeah.
That there are 1,000 living people here on earth right now that make the journey regularly to this room. And they are permitted to experience heaven because God spoke and said, if I can reveal heaven to you when you come back to earth, you'll make heaven more real to people. Because how can you, unless you really, you know, fully have been there, and then you can make it more real to people. Wouldn't you like to be one of those individuals? In fact, it's being said that it's increasing. Lord, choose me. Hallelujah. Come on. I want to be one of them. These are living people. This is it. We're going to pray. And the group that sent me out into the ministry had a 53-year ministry, 6 days a week, of high praise and intercession, 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. That was their ministry. And they commissioned me to go out. They weren't called to go out, but they commissioned me to go out and to enter into their devotions, their intercessions, their fastings over 53 years. Isn't that amazing? So I'm in a conference. We're going to stand here in just a moment. I'm in a conference not too long ago with one of these young men that makes that trip. He's one of those throne room saints that go to heaven to earth. And I believe in the integrity of this young man. You want to know how I know? He did not know the connection between this group of ladies that sent me out and the director of this group in my hometown that for 53 years sought God. The director of this group, her name is Frances Metcalf. I'm kind of scrutinizing this kid because he's in his 30s, number one, and I'm Professor Maloney, so, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, analyzing this thing, you know, because that's just my brain, you know, because I'm not just into extra scripturalisms and weird, you know, I mean, it's there's got to be basis in the Word and just, you know, I honor the Word as well as the Spirit. And I'm not criticizing it, but I'm just kind of analyzing. And so he stands up and he says, you know, there's some of you, looks right at me. He says, there's some of you that think that what I'm telling you is a bunch of baloney. But this is really true. There is a room in heaven where people ascend and descend that are living here on earth to make heaven real to people here on earth. And oh, by the way, Dr. Maloney, Frances Metcalf says hello because she is the director and oversees this room. My spiritual mama. He did not know her. He did not know her name. He did not know the connection. Now you talk about goosebumps.
Yeah.
Going up with that, you feel it, right? Yeah. Goosebumps going up and down. Oh, you feel that, don't you? Going up and down with people's spines. This guy got a hold of something. Stand with me. Everybody say, thank God he's finished. You're a great group. I'm sorry I preached a little longer. It's your fault. I blame every one of you. You're like a bunch of spiritual sponges. You're just like, more, 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 more. I want you to take that person's hand next to you. I know it's a little slimy and oily, but that's okay. Give it a big squeeze. Get a grimace out of them. I'm going to pronounce a father's blessing. Will you receive this? I can do this seated because I have no more strength. Hallelujah. I've depleted my adrenals. I've got to go eat. All right. There's such unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace. Keep peace among you. Be at peace. Amen? That bands you together. There's a sealing right now. The Holy Spirit says you're sealed. That we're sealed. How's it phrased? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That means that He is you're like a package that God has put in that package all the necessary gifts, talents, and abilities, and He's going to wrap you and package you. And at the proper time, He's going to send you. And when you're unwrapped, everything that people that are in need of that you come in contact with will have the necessary gift that comes in and through your life to administer to their needs. That's what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that unique? Right now, I guess I'm getting to the age where the 20 and 30 year olds are calling me a spiritual dad. I don't know. Kind of take that as an insult, but no, I don't. I decree that all of those ideas, all of the creativity, come on, receive it right now. Begin to pray in the Spirit. All of the entrepreneurial business, financial, all of the influence in the workplace, in the home, your children, grandchildren. Come on, receive it right now, young and old. That all of the potentiality of God's purpose is going to come forth in fullness in this present life, right now. This year is the year. I see you as like Christmas packages and gifts that are all wrapped up. And I see beautiful ribbon and paper, and you're all wrapped up with these wonderful gifts, but it's not doing anyone any good until it's unwrapped. This is the year that you're going to step out with that creative idea. You're going to step out in your field of expertise. You're going to take some of those mountains. God has sent you to the mountain of education. God has sent you to the mountain of... There's all kinds of mountains they were to take. Receive the blessing. Come on, right now. Receive it right now. Receive. Say, Father, give me that key. Give me that key with my brother and sister. Give me the key. I'm going to honor a culture of honor. Everything that this church is going to be noted for is integrity and honor and etiquette and protocol and excellence. You're good people. You've got great hearts. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit's showing this to me. You have great hearts. You're the best of the best. Even with faults and shortcomings, we all have them. You're just... He's able to entrust to you a key and giftings that's going to stop this grieving of the Holy Spirit in this community. It's on your shoulders by His grace. The grief or the grieving of the Holy Spirit that's not allowed greater miracles, greater breakthroughs, greater kingdom expression in the community, it's squarely being placed upon the shoulders of this church to break that grieving. Hallelujah. And it's going to be easy. It's not going to be heavy. It's not a yoke that God's putting upon you. It's not a burden He's putting upon you. It's just that He's called you in this community to roll away the reproach. Just roll that stone of reproach away and open up the heavens and make God real to people and define to a people what it really means to be in the Spirit. Now give Him praise and honor and glory right now. Hallelujah.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186, or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.